This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, thanks again to Brett Bone joining us in our last segment. Don't forget, you can tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. That is 25 hours from now for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Ben and Woods, Annie and Elston, Gwynn and Chris, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza. Steve Sugimoto should have been here tomorrow. He could have enjoyed plenty of free pizza. We always have leftovers on Thursdays at the roundtable.
Yeah, we don't actually get to eat it. We just get to smell it and look at it.
Any thoughts on the question that I posed in the last hour that's going to be a roundtable question? What, if any, contract extension offer do you make to keep Jurickson and Profar in a Padres uniform? I saw 20 years, $2.5 billion in the YouTube chat.
That's
Not your money.
I just don't know if they have any money. I love that Eric Hosmer, by the way, is tweeting, time to start extending Profar. Yeah, it'd be great if we didn't have to pay you $13 million to podcast. Jesus Christ almighty. Really? Give him your 13. We could keep him.
It's done.
Could really use that.
Done deal.
God.
1 year, Eric Hosmer's $13 million is the offer.
You should not tweet,
to Jurickson Profar in 2025.
Bro, that's like robbing a bank and then just going out years later, constantly posting about how you robbed a bank.
Yeah, it's insane.
Maybe just lay low. Stop talking about it.
Yeah, just stop tweeting. You want to cover Major League Baseball? Go cover other teams that aren't paying you right now. We got it here, man. God bless. Drove me nuts. Time to start talking about extending Jurickson Profar. You took all of our money, and you don't play. You took all of it.
I guess the real dilemma here is that the Padres do have financial constraints. They're real. They've been dealing with them all year long. And you don't want to overpay for Jurickson Profar. And then if you're Jurickson Profar,
but you're like, bro, you should be paying me I'm putting up $20 million a year.
I mean, I saw the midseason ESPN's like MVP. He was top, I think he was seventh in the MVP balloting basically at the middle of the year. That's a $20 to $25 million guy. So of course he's gonna want his money, but what are Jurickson's alternatives? Go play another season for the Rockies?
Right.
He doesn't want to go anywhere, and the Padres also know this. So they kind of both have each other over the barrel. Jurickson can't leave, but the Padres can't let Jurickson leave either. So
right.
where do you end up financially when those are kind of your parameters going into any negotiation?
Again, man, there's such a mutual thing here between the two. I cannot in good conscience get on here and say that Jurickson Profar should give San Diego a hometown discount or anything like that. No, Jurickson Profar should get his money. He's got a family. He's friggin' earned it and is earning it every single night.
But let's say the scenario of 2 years ago presents itself again.
Right.
For you could stick around for $7 million or you get $8 from somewhere else.
You stay for $7.
I think you stay for $7.
You stay for $7. Just like we're not moving to Cincinnati for a little bit more than we're making now. We're just not. It's just not going to happen. You know, they know that too.
So there is a bit of a San Diego discount.
It's more of like I'm play really well here. It's not even a San Diego discount. It's just I play well here. I fit in.
It's the best fit for
me. It's a best fit for me personally, for my family. Like but he needs to, if there is an extension offer made, he needs to feel that it is fair and not, Well, look what happened the last time you went for the Bucks. Right. You were miserable. It's got to feel like, you know what? Yeah, this is good for all parties.
Spencer wants to know, are there constraints once the CVT resets if they don't go over it this year? Well,
we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't really know.
We do know that the debt service thing that MLB was pressuring the Padres on is real. So there is some constraints there. They can go over the CVT next year without quite as many financial and draft penalties, but then they start accruing again.
Correct.
If you do it. So it's never something you can't think about. Even the Mets, even though they go over it all the time, they still have to think about where their level is at and what the penalties are, because there's draft, there's international signing penalties. You know, they want to go after Roki Sasaki. They want every dollar available to do that, and you can't be going over the CBT if you want the ability to do that. Is Roki Sasaki a huge sensation? Steve Sugimoto in Japan? Is that? I heard he's been hurt the last couple of starts, but
yes.
I would like to see him in a Padres uniform next year.
Yeah, he's a household name for sure.
Not in a Dodgers uniform. So he's definitely someone to keep an eye on this offseason. All right, we'll get back to the Padres Jurickson talk in a second. Right now, Paulie's got some headlines with our Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3, The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right, indeed.
Paging Basketball Woods.
Oh, he's here.
Big night.
Let's hear it.
Huge night tonight.
It's because of the NBA draft is tonight. Give me my music.
Look at that.
I need my
it's
music.
It's at least the first half of the NBA draft. It's for the first time ever. It's going to be a 2-day, 2-round draft. Tonight's first round from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn at 5 p.m. on ABC 10 here in San Diego. Don't want to miss a single draft pick tonight, Woods. Channel 10, yeah.
Padres are on at 1:10.
Yeah, you'll be long done with the Padres game. You can settle in nicely tonight. No distractions at home. Tell Hannah, I got to focus in on this 3-hour NBA first round of the draft tonight.
We are doing a member stream tonight, yes?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'll be doing.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
Talking some NBA draft.
Absolutely
on our
not.
Stream,
if you
sure.
talk NBA draft on our member stream, we're booting you off.
Is that a promise?
I was going over some of the, who's got the first pick and whatnot. I've already forgotten. So
it's Adam's team has the first.
Oh, the Hawks.
The Atlanta Hawks
select Bronny James.
Is that
James.
Where he is on vacation? He went to the draft so he could cheer his first overall pick of the draft.
Hey, by the way, just as an aside,
we're going to see him there with Adam Silver. Yeah!
Just,
go Hawks!
They look like twins, by the way. two bald
Adam
Rindles.
Silver's head's even pointier than Adam's, I think.
You put glasses on Adam Klug, though, and it's very
similar. Could be the commissioner.
Could you imagine being on vacation this week of all weeks? Could you imagine?
He's dying.
He's dying inside. To
all
not
the
be
viral
here.
Content
I
that's
know.
Coming out of Petco Park this week.
Yes, and he's just like, he's with his in-laws or something.
He's like, it's 100 in Georgia, and then we're going down to Florida, and then back to Georgia.
104 degrees, 90% humidity, and he's missing all of this.
Mm. There was also a trade last night
in
the NBA. Big trade as the Brooklyn Nets traded Mikal Bridges to the New York Knicks, so he doesn't have to go too far.
The Knicks GM AJ Preller sending 5 first-round draft picks to the Nets for Mikal Bridges, who's good. I mean, he's averaged 26 points a game. I wouldn't call him a 5 first-round draft pick superstar by any stretch of the imagination, but hey, the Knicks got close last year, and they think this can get us closer, so let's mortgage everything and bring in another Villanova player. Remember, they had the 3 Villanova players? Now they got 4 Villanova players.
Wow.
It's Villanova East in New York City now.
Where is Villanova?
Philadelphia,
yeah. That's right.
Listen to this paragraph from Woj talking about the trade. He goes, after teetering in the post Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving windows between pursuing the playoffs and the draft lottery, The Nets declared a direction and suddenly have 16 first-round picks available through 2031.
Good God!
They're going to be great in 2033.
My beloved Joe Ty, maybe move them here so we can enjoy the fruits.
Later.
Yes. Later. Yeah, let them... Let the Knicks have New York. So come on out here.
West Coast. Yeah. Build an arena. Let's do it.
All right, we'll switch over to football-ish. Benny, you mentioned this earlier. I'm still trying to catch up on this story here. The Chiefs will be making a Hallmark Christmas movie this year.
They will.
Now, it's not actually... I don't know how many players are actually going to be in the movie... They are going to be producing the movie starting in July.
Oh, my God. He's going to be in the manger.
You know Travis.
He's going to be in the manger as baby Jesus.
It says the Chiefs and Hallmark branding with the NFL and Skydance Sports make a holiday movie.
What?
Tyler Hines, Hunter King, and Ed Begley Jr. will star in the movie. It's called Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story. Taylor Swift title of a song.
Oh, is that a title of a song?
Love story.
Oh, okay. I thought you said it was the Chiefs love story.
It's a holiday touchdown.
A holiday touchdown.
A Chiefs love story. Okay. The film is set to premiere on Hallmark Channel this winter during their annual countdown to Christmas that they do. And, they're going to begin production next month in Kansas City and filming at Arrowhead Stadium.
I have the plot summary here.
Do you? Like.
Yes.
Lay it on me.
Here we go. Alana Higman is sure that her family's lifelong history as Kansas City Chiefs superfans makes them a front runner to win the team's Fan of the Year contest.
So then her dad went and robbed banks the guise of, what was the name of that guy?
Oh, God, what was
Super
his
Chief
name?
Oh, yeah, Super, or whatever.
Yeah, Chief, what was it? Yes, that's right. Derek Hines, director of fan engagement, is tasked with evaluating how Alana and her family stack up against the other two finalists. As the pair spends time together, it's clear there's a spark between them. But when her grandfather, led by Ed Begley Jr.'s vintage Chiefs good luck winter hat, goes missing, Alana begins to doubt everything she believed about fate, destiny, and even questions her future with Derek. Unless that is... A little Christmas magic can throw a Hail Mary.
I want to die. I want to die.
Chiefsaholic was the name.
Chiefsaholic.
Chiefsaholic, the
bank
robbing
Chiefs fan. Then her dad, Chiefsaholic, not only stole the hat, but robbed several banks across the
country.
And
his lawyer was unbelievable in his courtroom steps news conference.
They're doing they've had 14 arrests this offseason. They're doing a Christmas movie.
Just adding more. As they go for a three-peat.
More distractions.
You're going for a three-peat. I'd be like, you know what?
Anything else you guys want to do while you're here? Maybe start side businesses.
We'll do Hard Knocks. We'll do the in-season Hard Knocks as well.
That is unreal, man.
Oh, God.
Unreal.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible. As most
really
of those
does
are.
Sound terrible. Does
when, this now, I'm glad we have Steve Sugimoto here. Stevie, what is your flight? What does it look like? Do you fly out of LAX to Tokyo?
I usually go... San Diego to San Francisco first, and then to Tokyo.
Okay, about how much total time in the air is that?
Combined, probably like 13 hours in the air.
All right, that's actually not too bad. But there's a new trend going around. It's mostly men doing this, and they are raw-dogging on their flights.
I saw this. This is the one of the worst things I've ever seen. And it's maybe the toughest challenge a man can take. You've heard of the Ironman triathlon. This is harder.
That's not what you may be thinking when you hear that term.
Right. Because Ben's eyes just lit up.
Oh, yeah.
Raw talking?
Bringing the Mile High Club a whole new meaning.
Yeah.
So men are doing this on fairly long flights.
This is insane.
It could be 3 hours, 6 hours, 17-hour flights across the world. And this all started back in May when a 26-year-old man from London posted about his decision to forego any and all in-flight entertainment. In-flight services, no beverages, no snacks, no meals. All he did was stare at the flight radar map on the seat in front of him.
He raw-dogged the flight.
I could do that. I think I could. I could just stare at the map the entire time and watch it as it slowly progresses from
no water. No
water, no snacks, and nothing.
I could do it.
You just sit there.
You are like Ed Gein, serial killer.
I could do that.
There's no way.
I mean, it wouldn't be fun, but, I'd miss the snacks. But I could get through it.
I could go here to DFW, which is about a 2.5 hour flight. I could do it for 2.5. I could sit. Now, you can't sleep either. Now, if you could let me sleep, I'll raw dog you from here to Paris.
Yeah, stay awake.
Stay awake and just stare.
And these men are posting photos that they are just sitting upright, just staring right at the flight radar on the seat back in front of them. No nothing.
No magazine.
And they're just...
No phone, playing blackjack on your phone. Nothing.
Matthew says he had to do it on a 14-hour flight to Afghanistan. Yeah. Those military flights with no entertainment, they're sitting like sideways in the back of
a
back of a cargo plane or something. Now that sounds miserable.
The guy that went viral and kind of started this, he said he calls raw dogging his flights, he compares it to meditation. Visually, you're kind of impaired. You only get to look at the seat in front of you, to your right or left if you're at the window. All you hear is the drumming sound of the engine. It's just white noise.
I'm going to raw dog the rest of this show.
Like the darkness retreat.
Watch this. I'm going to raw dog the rest of this show.
Oh, no music. Can't.
I mean, I think you and I can continue to talk, Paulie, and Woods is just going to focus in on the buttery, smooth sound of my voice for the next 45 minutes. It's almost a meditative trance that he's in. He'll be a better person for it at the end. Listening to my sultry, sultry tones. I do think that, I don't know if I could do like all the way to Asia, but maybe across the country, 5 hours staring at the map.
It's too much.
No way.
I think I can
do it. Much. I can't do it.
No.
What are you really missing? The food is terrible. The entertainment's usually terrible.
But
anyway. No,
but you bring your own. Obviously, you bring your own snacks. You bring your own entertainment. I download movies. I listen to music. Oh, there's a new record I want to hear. I listen to that. Like,
yeah, depends on how long the flight is. I'll download a couple episodes of something or a movie or whatever.
People said I was making them very uncomfortable staring into the camera.
I thought Elisa said earlier in the chat, like, people must have thought this guy was a terrorist.
It would be so unsettling.
There, you're on an 8-hour flight, and there's somebody just sitting there.
There's a Seinfeld.
Staring.
There's a Seinfeld about this. Putty does it on the flight, and it drives Elaine insane. She goes, do you want a magazine? He goes, no. She goes, so you don't want you have a book or anything? He goes, no. She goes, so you're just going to sit there? He goes, yeah. I said, I can't do this anymore. Bro, 100%. I would expect.
Didn't they break up because of
that? Yes, I would expect my wife to leave me if I raw dog. We're going to Hawaii in July. It's like 6 hours. And two kids.
Let us know how long you can go.
3 minutes, max. There's no chance. So freaking great. So great. Remember when we interviewed him during the pandemic?
That's right. Patrick Warburton.
Yeah, Patrick Warburton. Wonder how he's doing. Let's check in with him for summer break. We got Ben and Wood's summer vacation coming up soon. Yeah. See what he's up to.
All right. Good job on the Rondle Report. If you want to join us, we got a couple segments left. 833-288-0973. Talk more Padres baseball as they go for the sweep. They do have the one sweep of the Oakland A's. Can they get a second sweep today over the Washington Nationals? Get the final matchup. Look ahead to that coming up next after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wanted to offer a quick bit of thank you to our brave firefighters out there. Had a flashback to wildfire season yesterday.
I was driving to work. What happened?
I was driving to work, and I felt like I wanted to eat a coffee, so I ordered a coffee on the app, and I got off at Del Mar Heights yesterday, and right there, I mean, the smoke was absolutely billowing. The wildfire that broke out right there in the Torrey Pines Auxiliary Reserve, right above Torrey Pines State Beach, near a ton of houses. They had to evacuate. They had, the helicopters were flying around and the sirens were going all over the place. And it was that eerie, everything turns yellow when you go into the smoke on a sunny day, but then it's like clouds, but it's not. It's smoke that's blocking everything out. And then Paulie told me that it got to the point where people were actually flying their own personal drones around the fire to get shots of it, but interfering with the aerial operations of the San Diego fire crews that were trying to put it out.
Yeah,
some
idiots,
man.
Don't do
out
this.
Out there flying drones, getting footage of the flames, and you have firefighters, you know, the helicopters, the planes that drop anything that they can to help put out this fire. They can't do their job fully when there's drones flying around. You are literally putting lives at risk. And I believe you can be prosecuted if they find out that you were the one flying a drone
Something Adam would make us do. Hey, there's a fire in Del Mar. Can you get your drone? We need the footage. Bro, these guys are... Just please, can you make your way down there? No, please, I'm begging you.
So, big don't do this moment for anyone trying to fly drones interrupting with the firefighters. You also had your own don't do this moment yesterday.
I mean, no good deed, my friend, goes unpunished. You know, I did I'll Venmo someone $69 if the Padres win this game. This was a couple nights ago. And somebody, you know, people were dropping their Venmos, right? And so somebody then took my Twitter profile picture, my name, but they changed it a little bit to at the Stevens Woods. Very good. Created a Venmo.
A darn chef.
So they didn't hack your Venmo.
No, my Venmo was not
hacked.
They
just made their Venmo look as much like yours as possible.
No, look like my Twitter. So it doesn't even... My Venmo picture is completely different than my Twitter picture. So they took my Twitter, took most, my name and added an S, and then... I was getting DMs from people going, dude, is this real? Do you need $5?
So they just went on your Twitter where everybody's Venmo handles
correct.
Were.
And then they start seeing those Venmo handles.
And started requesting money.
And started requesting money from them. $5. So I had to call Venmo support and talk to Gus.
Woods really fell on hard times.
Yeah. And I said, hey, I tweeted like, don't worry about me. I've got hundreds of dollars to my name. I'm fine. All right, so don't send me $5. I don't need it.
Kyle said they requested $5, but then said they were giving $25 for
back.
A sandwich.
Yeah. Very well done, guys. Very, very well done. So I had to call Venmo support. He's like, he goes, so it's not, they didn't hack your Venmo. They're impersonating you, and we will make sure that they don't do it again. But I just got another one, but I don't know if it came yesterday. Fritz just sent me one.
The Stevens Woods?
I am hungry. Now what? Steven Woods canceled a request for $5. Oh, so they must have gone in and fixed it. So sorry about that, everybody. I won't be asking for anybody's Venmo anymore. And it was not me asking you for $5. I'm good. I'm
Actually, not to say that at some point it won't come to that.
Correct. Yeah, I've hit some parlays recently. We've had some bonuses. Everything's good. You know, everything's good and financially here for me.
But you know, 15 years down the line, if someone's going, "Hey, you remember that Ben and Woods show you used to enjoy?"
Yeah.
Well, I've hit some hard times.
I need $5.
Can you Venmo me $5? It might actually be you at that point.
It could be. I mean, I'm not going to rule anything out. I've always said I'm not going to ask my audience for anything. You know, I'm not. Listen, if it's charity or something, hey, share it if you can't donate, whatever. But it's never going to be to benefit me financially. Does that make sense? Like, even when we'd sell a T-shirt, that goes into the show fund. Like, that's to buy stuff for the Christmas show and everything else. I'm not trying to profit.
I'm always very careful. I didn't receive one of those requests, but had I gotten one, I would have said no.
Yeah, we know. We know.
And had it come from you, actually, I also would have said no. Because I'm very careful about not sending any money.
And it was weird. I got
to anyone.
I woke up this morning too, and I had a. I woke up this morning. And the first text I saw was like some 903 number that said, "You know, your car was like on the fast lane, the easy pass or something,
the fast track, the HOV lanes."
And I woke up. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I looked at my phone. I go, "Did I get in a wrong lane?" Because I was driving like mad yesterday. I was up to Forest Ranch a couple of times. I'm like, there's no toll road up there.
Yeah, so, no, if you use the HOV lanes,
but
that can be a toll road as well.
Okay, but I did not do that. So I knew this is a scam. I did click on it just for a second.
Too late.
And it said it was like for the Bay Area. And I was like, no, this isn't.
They've already got you now.
Oh, yeah. Whatever, it's fine. I'm going to get much from
someone's that. Riding around California for free on your tab now.
Fine by me. Whatever. And don't send me any money, please. I don't need it at this point.
You might.
Someday.
All right, let's take a final timeout. When we come back, we'll look ahead at the series finale today at Petco Park. We got afternoon day baseball for you.
Fireworks today.
Couple of, yeah, there might be. I mean, there's no reason why there couldn't be. We got a couple callers on the line as well. Stay there. Final segment of Ben and Woods on the way next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Interesting note here on Jeremiah Estrada. Welcome back. It's Ben and Woods' final segment here on a Wednesday. And clearly, he is he's not the same pitcher who struck out 13 batters in a row earlier this season. But Kevin Acey wrote in his newsletter this morning, he's still 15 pounds down from when he developed the flu-like symptoms earlier this month,
is
June 11th.
Right?
Yeah, he's resumed to eating semi-regularly, but still limited to just white rice and bread right now.
Jeez,
so he can't even keep protein down.
Really?
He's available most nights. He wants to give everything that he's got. But obviously, he's been weakened by this illness that he's still kind of dealing with. So if he's not quite the perfect setup man, hopefully he'll be able to get back to that as he continues to get a little bit healthier.
God, just when
moving on.
Just when something starts going good, like he's got a stomach-eating virus, he loses 15. How do I get it? 15 pounds.
You don't want that kind of weight loss. That's
no.
No,
I was looking at the thing. He was talking about how gnarly it's kind of been. And he said when he had COVID, he goes, "It's nowhere close to what I had when I had COVID."
Well, he almost died.
He almost died.
COVID, yeah.
And he spent 2 weeks in the hospital. He said, "Yeah, I've spent like 4 hours throwing up, but I threw up for 24 hours when I had COVID." Yeah, I mean, the velo was up last night. Command's a little shaky right now, but man, that's tough.
And I think the run, it was an inherited run with Steven Cola,
yeah,
which was unearned because of the not a great play by Luis Urial. Luis Urial had two really bad plays. When you're up by, what was it, five runs, touch first before you try to get the double play. If you don't get the double play, fine. You got an out. Get the sure out. You're
Bam,
6 inches away from a sure out. Take the sure out first.
Ask Paulie my message to the tier ones every Sunday. Is what? Collect outs.
Just get the out.
Collect
always
outs.
Take a sure out.
Everyone loves the double play. Who doesn't love a good DP? Collect an out. This is adult league. Make a play.
And then there's the ninth inning. The game is literally over. The ball is in his
glove. It's in your glove.
You beat the... It's over.
Ugh.
It bounces out. And all of a sudden, the tying run is coming to the plate after the C.J. Abrams single. And, I mean, you had to have the thought. Like,
of
please,
course.
Lane Thomas, if you hit a home run here and this game is now tied again, it really would have been one of the most gut-punching moments as a Padres fan I can even remember.
Legit would have thought about calling in sick. Legit. would have said, I've been throwing up.
I mean, obviously, Jerickson would have walked it off in the bottom of the ninth anyway.
Clearly.
But I didn't need that kind of drama. I had plenty of drama last night.
This is a great quote, man, from Jeremiah. He says, my mindset is winners find a way to win. I want to do what I can to help the team. I've been doing my best. It's been a bumpy road. Had a couple outings. Some pitches have been hit. Some pitches have been left up in the zone. It's tough, man. He's trying to fight through it, as is, you know, most of the guys on this team right now. So, again, I tip my hat to a lot of these guys out there grinding through some injury. And got a little nervous last night on the swing and a miss from Manny in his second AB. You know, kind of had to stop down for a minute, ended up staying in the game, drawing a key walk later in the game too. But yeah, man, they're pretty banged up. So, you know, try to keep that in mind, I guess, before we go ham on Twitter about, you know, a bad outing or a bad swing or something.
I believe Bryce Johnson had the bunt single ahead of the Jerickson Profar Grand Slam. Was that his first single since he joined the San Diego Padres?
Yeah. Is that his first big league hit?
No. He had a home run. And,
oh, he did?
Yeah, he played a few weeks in the big leagues for whatever his previous organization was. So far, I mean, the Padres have won both the games that he's been in the starting lineup, but it does feel like you're kind of got more at-bats that you're now giving away at the bottom of the order with Tatis gone. At some point, that's going to hurt you, right?
Yeah. And Eggy, I guess, was really working hard in the outfield yesterday. He's got to get in there. I mean, if he mashes left-handed pitching, you have another lefty on the bump today. Got to get Eggy Rosario some ABs. No question. Unquestionably needs to be in there today.
All right. Let's check traffic. We got some callers in the line. Final minutes. We'll look ahead to that matchup as well. All coming up here on 97.3 The Fan. Also didn't really talk about the play where C.J. Abrams, who's having a big series, got picked off essentially first base as he was just walking back to the bag. Very heads up, though, by Ha-Sung Kim and Luis Arraez. Did you see Arraez, like, just very discreetly try to tell, throw me the ball?
Give me the ball.
And I don't know how the umpire missed that call. C.J. Abrams
right
knew
on
he was out. He was tagged safe. And instantly, CJ is basically walking back to the dugout like, they're going to challenge this, and I know I'm out. So might as well skip the whole process here and get back to the dugout.
He's right on top of the play.
Saw the replay. How'd you miss that?
How did you miss that one? I think he took it by surprise.
Yeah,
I didn't
see
he wasn't ready. He was, safe.
Just like Abrams wasn't ready. The umpire also wasn't ready.
If you're Davey Martinez, you are so massively frustrated by that. Didn't he? He got picked off twice, didn't he?
In the series, yeah. I mean, one was a more traditional pickoff, but
I mean, look, it drives you nuts. We've had our fair share of bad base running on the San Diego Padres this year, but giving away outs in a game like that just can't happen. But
833-288-0973. Final minutes. Let's get a couple more callers in today after this show. Jamie is calling us. Jamie, good morning. Welcome to 97.3 The Fan.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Oh, this is umpire Jamie. He's calling. How did he miss that call?
Yes,
it
is.
How did he miss that
timing.
Call?
And perfect timing.
So, I was calling about the ejection, but on that one quickly, when you're at the field, even in professional baseball, sometimes guys are talking to you.
Oh.
They'll say, hey, Jamie, or something. You're kind of a quick look, and you're not expecting anything right there at that moment.
Yeah.
And
I'm always chatting you up.
He's looking back, heard the snap of the glove, looks back, and he's like, oh, snap.
You're so rarely tagged out, you cannot. And
Jamie, I mean, as an umpire, you know you've got a 50-50 chance of getting it right. You might as well guess.
I mean, Jamie lives his whole life that way.
I didn't see it, but there's a chance. I go safe, and he was safe, and everyone's going, oh, yeah, it was a good call. It was close, but the umpire got that right. And it's like, I didn't see it at all, but it's coin flip.
Coin flip.
If it was close, you can get away with that. That one was not close. But the ejection, after the warning was issued, I agree with Brett Boone on this one. Once you've issued that warning, you have to eject them.
Gotta go.
Because now you have Schilt come out. He gets ejected for arguing the fact you didn't do your job. You said this was going to happen. I'm protecting my players. When you issue that warning as an umpire, you're protecting the players because that can go on all day and guys are going to get hurt. Now, if you throw him out and Davey Johnson comes out and argues, you can toss him because you did your job. Davey's wrong. So the umpires did misstep a little bit there. They should have thrown him out, but. You know, there's 40,000 people screaming at you as an umpire, whether you're right or wrong, in every stadium. Once in a while, you miss one.
His face, though, I will say, as much as I loathed the call, the panic on his face after it happened and he took his mask off.
Mackenzie Gore's panic?
No, the umpire's
panic.
When it hit Profar, after the ejection, he was white. He was white as a ghost. He was like, and he kind of looked at one dugout, kind of looked at the other one. And he's like, oh God, what do I do? Again, I think they said on the broadcast, he was like, he's like a fill-in from AAA. Like, he's a young dude. And he's behind the dish and had to make that call. I did have one slight empathetic moment for him going, oh my God, what do you do? I think the best course of action though, and believe me, I swear to God, if the roles were reversed, I would come in here today and say, Dylan Cease had to go. He had to go. The umpire said there. I swear on my mother, I would tell you guys, I know you're upset, but he's got to go.
I would defend with my heart that it wasn't intentional, but I'd still agree.
100%.
But he does have to go.
100%.
It's the pitch after the warning.
And if you're...
Gore could have buzzed the guy in the fourth inning and you would have understood.
If it was a back foot slider at like 83 and it bounced and hit him, okay.
Fine.
All right. It's not a fastball. It was a 98 mile an hour. He threw it as hard as he could.
Yeah. At his
And it hit Jurickson Profar. It easily could have been targeted higher and he just yanked it a little bit too.
Right.
You don't know. I mean, if I'm the pitcher, I'm going to certainly give the reaction like, oops, sorry. I mean, I didn't mean to do that.
No way.
Maybe it was, oops, I meant to hit you in the back, and I yanked it a little bit, and I hit you in the ankle instead.
Yeah, and I think if you're a veteran umpire or a rookie umpire that's filling in from AAA, the best course of action is to follow the rule that you just laid down. You just laid it down. Davey Martinez is going to be mad as hell at you, but it's such an easy thing to say, Dave, you saw me. I just warned you and them. Are you joking? You're actually out here? I don't care if it was intentional. It hit him. The letter of the law says he's got to go. I made the letter of the law. I made the law. I have to follow it to the letter. He's got to go. And I swear to God, again, if it happened today, I'd come in tomorrow and go, look, I get it. You're pissed. I'm pissed. But they had just warned Dylan Cease. He hit C.J. Abrams. He's got to go. So I don't know if anything's going to spill over today. I don't think it will. Honestly, the Nationals are fighting for their lives right now, and the San Diego Padres want to complete this sweep. So I think it's probably squashed at this point. And I think the Nationals, if I'm Davey Martinez, I almost say, hey, enough. Jesse, Kiebert, all you guys.
It's over.
Like, how many times can we wake this giant right here? Let's not give them any extra motivation today. They've already, beaten us handily. So let's just go out and try to win a ball game.
Also, Dylan Cease throws very, very
98
hard.
98 miles an hour, yeah.
Not that the other guy doesn't. It's 91 and 94. So that's the matchup today. 110 first pitch, 12:10 Equal Water SoCal pregame show. DJ Hers, who is a left-hander, third straight, and, Padres have gotten wins in the first two, will take the mound for the Washington Nationals. He has got a, what's his ERA? 4.5, 1-1, 4.5, 1.33 whip. However, looking at his last few starts, now in Colorado, his last time out, gave up a few runs, gave up four, three earned. But the start before that against the Marlins, six innings, one hit, 13 strikeouts, no walks. So just a couple of starts ago, he had an outstanding performance. Two runs allowed in 4 1/3 against the Braves the time before that. So
he struck out 26 hitters in 18 innings, Ben. He's their number 12 prospect, I believe. He is a four-pitch pitcher, mostly fastball changeup, and a little bit of cutter, a little bit of slider in there. So tops out. 93, 94, nothing, again, overpowering. But you'd hope that that monkey's kind of off the Padres' back as far as left-hander goes. Mackenzie Gore throws much harder and has much better stuff than this kid. But, we've seen guys like this flummox the San Diego Padres all season. So hopefully go out and complete that sweep, man. Play with that fire that you had last night. And let's no messing around, man. Don't let these guys back in it today.
Dylan Cease, of course, has been scuffling lately. Now, he showed signs of coming out of it in his last start and looked good in the first, I think the four innings, and then in the fifth against the Milwaukee Brewers, had that walk, infield single inning where they kind of just dunked it around on him and ended up knocking him out of the game with the four run top of the fifth inning. So he hasn't been very efficient though,
And obviously the Padres would love to see Dylan Cease go 6 or 7.
That'd be great.
It's been a while since we've seen that out of him. So see if he can build on some of the good things and not necessarily the bad things from his last start against the Milwaukee Brewers. Padres did win that game, though, and will be going for the sweep this afternoon again at 1:10 first pitch.
Yeah, I mean, heavily favored in this game. You got your guy that had the potential to be your ace at the beginning of the season, and Dylan Cease. Matt Waldron's clearly the ace of the staff right now, which nobody thought they would say, but he absolutely is, and he's earned it, man. He's pitched his tail off. So Dylan needs to go out and complete this thing today.
I wonder if Sullivan will get the start behind the plate day game after the night game, or if they'll try to go
probably
Higashioka against another lefty and squeeze one more day out of him going into an off day.
He's a left-handed switch hitter.
He's definitely can hit from the left side.
Yeah.
But maybe you get him out later in the game. I'm not even sure. But Higashioka, I saw a stat yesterday. His isolated power, like this month, is like fourth in baseball.
Yeah.
Behind like guys like Aaron Judge. He has actually really been pounding the ball, and gives you a dangerous weapon while he's hot there near the bottom of the lineup. And with Tatis out, you need as many weapons as you can get, and he's one of them.
Who
right
would
now
have thought Kyle Higashioka would have been mentioned as a weapon, an offensive weapon for the San Diego
He has
Padres.
Been this month.
Guys have really stepped up, so we want to keep that train rolling right now.
So we'll be back tomorrow morning to talk about it all. 4 hours plus the extra hour for the roundtable tomorrow from 10 to 11. Looking forward to Annie and Elston coming up next. They'll have their own takes. Of course, Annie was in the clubhouse after the game. We played some of that sound that she got with Jurickson and Profar. I'm sure she has other observations and anecdotes and sound for you coming up in their Padres deep dive as well. Pretty much our entire 4 hours were on that game. I'm imagining the next two until Sammy's pregame show will be more on last night's game and looking ahead to what they've got this afternoon.
That was a fun one today, boys.
It was a good one. Yes, I know a lot of people were anticipating this morning show. I hope we lived up to everybody's expectations.
Always makes me nervous when I see those. Oh, can't wait for Ben. I'm like, oh God, we better deliver.
Only 9 more hours until Ben.
I'm like, oh no.
It was pretty easy to get up this morning.
It was very easy.
That's for sure. Steve Sugimoto, thank you for coming in. Keep the streak going at the game this afternoon before you go to your rehab. For Paul Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. From all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody. Interesting note here on Jeremiah Estrada. Welcome back. It's Ben and Woods' final segment here on a Wednesday. And clearly, he is he's not the same pitcher who struck out 13 batters in a row earlier this season. But Kevin Acey wrote in his newsletter this morning, he's still 15 pounds down from when he developed the flu-like symptoms earlier this month,
is
June 11th.
Right?
Yeah, he's resumed to eating semi-regularly, but still limited to just white rice and bread right now.
Jeez,
so he can't even keep protein down.
Really?
He's available most nights. He wants to give everything that he's got. But obviously, he's been weakened by this illness that he's still kind of dealing with. So if he's not quite the perfect setup man, hopefully he'll be able to get back to that as he continues to get a little bit healthier.
God, just when
moving on.
Just when something starts going good, like he's got a stomach-eating virus, he loses 15. How do I get it? 15 pounds.
You don't want that kind of weight loss. That's
no.
No
fun. I was looking at the thing. He was talking about how gnarly it's kind of been. And he said when he had COVID, he goes, it's nowhere close to what I had when I had COVID.
Well, he almost died.
He almost died.
Yeah.
And he spent 2 weeks in the hospital. He said, yeah, I've spent like 4 hours throwing up, but I threw up for 24 hours when I had COVID. Yeah, I mean, the velo was up last night. Command's a little shaky right now, but man, that's tough.
And and I think the run, it was an inherited run with Steven Kolek,
yeah,
which was unearned because of the not a great play by Luis Urriel. Luis Urriel had two really bad plays. When you're up by, what was it, five runs, touch first before you try to get the double play. If you don't get the double play, fine. You got an out. Get the sure out. You're
Bro,
6 inches away from a sure out. Take the sure out first.
Ask Paulie my message to the tier ones every Sunday. Is what? Collect outs.
Just get the out.
Collect
Always
outs.
Take a sure out.
Be
everyone,
sure one.
Everyone loves the double play. Who doesn't love a good DP? Collect an out. This is adult league. Make a play.
And then there's the ninth inning. The game is literally over. The ball is in his glove.
In your glove.
You beat the. It's over.
Ugh.
It bounces out. And all of a sudden, the tying run is coming to the plate after the C.J. Abrams single. And I mean, you had to have the thought, like,
of
please,
course,
Lane Thomas, if you hit a home run here, and this game is now tied again, it really would have been
one of the most gut-punching moments as a Padres fan I can even remember.
Legit would have thought about calling in sick. Legit would have said, I've been throwing up. I'm
obviously Jerickson would have walked it off in the bottom of the ninth anyway.
Clearly.
But I didn't need that kind of drama. This I had plenty of drama last night.
This is a great quote, man, from Jeremiah. He says, my mindset is winners find a way to win. I want to do what I can to help the team. I've been doing my best. It's been a bumpy road. Had a couple outings. Some pitches have been hit. Some pitches have been left up in the zone. It's tough, man. He's trying to fight through it, as is, you know, most of the guys on this team right now. So, again, I tip my hat to a lot of these guys out there grinding through some injury. And got a little nervous last night on the swing and a miss from Manny in his second AB. You know, kind of had to stop down for a minute, ended up staying in the game, drawing a key walk later in the game too. But yeah, man, they're pretty banged up. So, you know, try to keep that in mind, I guess, before we go ham on Twitter about, you know, bad outing or a bad swing or something.
I believe Bryce Johnson had the bunt single ahead of the Jerickson Profar Grand Slam. Was that his first single since he joined the San Diego Padres?
Yeah. Is that his first big league hit?
No. He had a home run. And
oh, he did?
Yeah, he played a few weeks in the big leagues for whatever his previous organization was. So far, I mean, the Padres have won both the games that he's been in the starting lineup, but it does feel like you're kind of got more at-bats that you're now giving away at the bottom of the order with Tatis gone. At some point, that's going to hurt you, right?
Yeah. And Eggy, I guess, was really working hard in the outfield yesterday. He's got to get in there. I mean, if he mashes left-handed pitching, you have another lefty on the bump today. Got to get Eggy Rosario some ABs. No question. Unquestionably needs to be in there today.
All right. Let's check traffic. We got some callers in the line. Final minutes. We'll look ahead to that matchup as well. All coming up here on 97.3 The Fan. Also didn't really talk about the play where C.J. Abrams, who's having a big series, got picked off essentially first base as he was just walking back to the bag. Very heads up, though, by Ha-Sung Kim and Luis Arraez. Did you see Arraez, like, just very discreetly try to tell, throw me the ball?
Give me the ball.
And I don't know how the umpire missed that call. C.J. Abrams
right
knew he was out. He was tagged safe. And instantly, CJ is basically walking back to the dugout like, they're going to challenge this, and I know I'm out, so might as well skip the whole process here and get back to the dugout.
He's right on top of the play.
Saw the replay. How'd you miss that?
I didn't miss that one. I think he took it by surprise.
Yeah,
I didn't
see
he wasn't ready. He was, oh, safe.
Just like Abrams wasn't ready, the umpire also wasn't ready.
If you're Davey Martinez, you are so massively frustrated by that. Didn't he? He got picked off twice, didn't he?
In the series, yeah. I mean, yeah. One was a more traditional pickoff, but
I mean, look, it drives you nuts. We've had our fair share of bad base running on the San Diego Padres this year, but giving away outs in a game like that just can't happen. But
833-288-0973. Final minutes. Let's get a couple more callers in today after this show. Jamie is calling us. Jamie, good morning. Welcome to 97.3 The Fan.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Oh, this is umpire Jamie. He's calling. How did he miss that call?
Yes,
it is. How did he miss that
timing.
Call?
And perfect timing.
So, I was calling about the ejection, but on that one, quickly, when you're at the field, even in professional baseball, sometimes guys are talking to you.
Oh.
They'll say, "Hey, Jamie," or something. You're kind of a quick look, and you're not expecting anything right there at that moment.
Yeah,
and
I'm always chatting you up.
He's looking back, heard the snap of the glove, looked back, and he's like, "Oh, snap."
You're so rarely tagged out, you cannot.
Jamie, I mean, as an umpire, you know you've got a 50-50 chance of getting it right. You might as well guess.
I mean, Jamie lives his whole life that way.
I didn't see it, but there's a chance. I go safe, and he was safe, and everyone's going, oh, yeah, it was a good call. It was close, but the umpire got that right. And it's like, I didn't see it at all, but it's coin flip.
Coin flip.
If it's really close, you can get away with that. That one was not close. But the ejection, after the warning was issued, I agree with Brett Boone on this one. Once you've issued that warning, you have to eject them.
Gotta go.
Because now you have Schilt come out. He gets ejected for arguing the fact you didn't do your job. You said this was going to happen. I'm protecting my players. When you issue that warning as an umpire, you're protecting the players because that could go on all day and guys are going to get hurt. Now, if you throw him out and Davey Johnson comes out and argues, you can toss him because you did your job. Davey's wrong. So the umpires did misstep a little bit there. They should have thrown him out, but you know, there's 40,000 people screaming at you as an umpire, whether you're right or wrong, in every stadium. Once in a while, you miss one.
His face, though, I will say, as much as I loathed the call, the panic on his face after it happened and he took his mask off.
Mackenzie Gore's panic?
No,
oh, no,
the umpire's panic. When it hit Profar, after the ejection, he was white. He was white as a ghost. He was like, and he kind of looked at one dugout, kind of looked at the other one. And he's like, oh God, what do I do? Again, I think they said on the broadcast, he's like a fill-in from AAA. Like, he's a young dude. And he's behind the dish and had to make that call. I did have one slight empathetic moment for him going, oh my God, what do you do? I think the best course of action, though, and believe me, I swear to God, if the roles were reversed, I would come in here today and say, Dylan Cease had to go. He had to go. The umpire said there. I swear on my mother, I would tell you guys, I know you're upset, but he's got to go.
I would defend with my heart that it wasn't intentional, but I'd still agree.
100%.
But he does have to go.
100%.
It's the pitch after the warning.
And if you're...
Gore could have buzzed the guy in the fourth inning and you would have understood.
If it was a back foot slider at like 83 and it bounced and hit him, okay.
Fine.
All right. It's not a fastball. It was a 98 mile an hour. He threw it as hard as he could.
Yeah. At his
shin. And it hit Jurickson Profar. It easily could have been targeted higher and he just yanked it a little bit too.
Right.
You don't know. I mean, if I'm the pitcher, I'm going to certainly give the reaction like, oops, sorry. I mean, I didn't mean to do that.
No way.
Maybe it was, oops, I meant to hit you in the back, and I yanked it a little bit, and I hit you in the ankle instead.
Yeah, and I think if you're a veteran umpire or a rookie umpire that's filling in from AAA, the best course of action is to follow the rule that you just laid down. You just laid it down. Nobody, yeah, Davey Martinez is going to be mad as hell at you, but it's such an easy thing to say, Dave, you saw me. I just warned you and them. Are you joking? You're actually out here? I don't care if it was intentional. It hit him. The letter of the law says he's got to go. I made the letter of the law. I made the law. I have to follow it to the letter. He's got to go. And I swear to God, again, if it happened today, I'd come in tomorrow and go, look, I get it. You're pissed. I'm pissed. But they had just warned Dylan Cease. He hit C.J. Abrams. He's got to go. So I don't know if anything's going to spill over today. I don't think it will. Honestly, the Nationals are fighting for their lives right now, and the San Diego Padres want to complete this sweep. So I think it's probably squashed at this point. And I think the Nationals, if I'm Davey Martinez, I almost say, hey, enough. Jesse, Kiebert, all you guys.
It's over.
Like, how many times can we wake this giant right here? Let's not give them any extra motivation today. They've already, beaten us handily. So let's just go out and try to win a ball game.
Also, Dylan Cease throws very, very
98
hard.
98 miles an hour, yeah.
Not that the other guy doesn't. It's 91 to 94. So that's the matchup today. 110 first pitch, 12:10 Eco Water SoCal pregame show. DJ Hers, who is a left-hander, third straight, and, Padres have gotten wins in the first two, will take the mound for the Washington Nationals. He has got a, what's his ERA? 4.5, 1-1, 4.5, 1.33 whip. However, looking at his last few starts, now in Colorado, his last time out, gave up a few runs, gave up four, three earned. But the start before that against the Marlins, six innings, one hit, 13 strikeouts, no walks. So just a couple of starts ago, he had an outstanding performance. Two runs allowed in 4 1/3 against the Braves the time before that. So
he struck out 26 hitters in 18 innings, Ben. He's their number 12 prospect, I believe. He is a four-pitch pitcher, mostly fastball changeup, and a little bit of cutter, a little bit of slider in there. So tops out. 93, 94, nothing, again, overpowering. But you'd hope that that monkey's kind of off the Padres' back as far as left-hander goes. Mackenzie Gore throws much harder and has much better stuff than this kid. But, we've seen guys like this flummox the San Diego Padres all season. So hopefully go out and complete that sweep, man. Play with that fire that you had last night. And let's no messing around, man. Don't let these guys back in it today.
Dylan Cease, of course, has been scuffling lately. Now, he showed signs of coming out of it in his last start and looked good in the first, I think the four innings, and then in the fifth against the Milwaukee Brewers, had that walk, infield single inning where they kind of just dunked it around on him and ended up knocking him out of the game with the four run top of the fifth inning. So he hasn't been very efficient though,
And obviously the Padres would love to see Dylan Cease go 6 or 7.
That'd be great.
It's been a while since we've seen that out of him. So see if he can build on some of the good things and not necessarily the bad things from his last start against the Milwaukee Brewers. Padres did win that game, though, and we'll be going for the sweep this afternoon again at 1:10 first pitch.
Yeah, I mean, heavily favored in this game. You got your guy that had the potential to be your ace at the beginning of the season in Dylan Cease. Matt Waldron's clearly the ace of the staff right now, which nobody thought they would say, but he absolutely is, and he's earned it, man. He's pitched his tail off. So Dylan needs to go out and complete this thing today.
I wonder if Sullivan will get the start behind the plate day game after the night game, or if they'll try to go
probably
Higashioka against another lefty and squeeze one more day out of him going into an off day.
He's a left-handed switch hitter.
He's definitely can hit from the left side.
Yeah.
But maybe you get him out later in the game. I'm not even sure. But Higashioka, I saw a stat yesterday. His isolated power, like this month, is like fourth in baseball.
Yeah.
Behind like guys like Aaron Judge. He has actually really been pounding the ball, and gives you a dangerous weapon while he's hot there near the bottom of the lineup. And with Tatis out, you need as many weapons as you can get, and he's one of them.
Who would have thought Kyle Higashioka would have been mentioned as a weapon, an offensive weapon for the San Diego
Padres?
He has
been this month.
Guys have really stepped up, so we want to keep that train rolling right now.
So we'll be back tomorrow morning to talk about it all. 4 hours plus the extra hour for the roundtable tomorrow from 10 to 11. Looking forward to Annie and Elston coming up next. They'll have their own takes. Of course, Annie was in the clubhouse after the game. We played some of that sound that she got with Jurickson and Profar. I'm sure she has other observations and anecdotes and sound for you coming up in their Padres deep dive as well. Pretty much our entire 4 hours were on that game. I'm imagining the next two until Sammy's pregame show will be more on last night's game and looking ahead to what they've got this afternoon.
That was a fun one today, boys.
It was a good one. Yes. I know a lot of people were anticipating this morning show. I hope we lived up to everybody's expectations.
Always makes me nervous when I see those. Oh, can't wait for Ben. I'm like, oh, God, we better deliver.
Only 9 more hours until Ben.
I'm like, oh, no.
It was pretty easy to get up this morning.
It was very easy.
That's for sure. Steve Sugimoto, thank you for coming in. Keep the streak going at the game this afternoon before you go to your rehab. For Paul Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. From all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.